does a couple of drinks a night over dinner now be defined as possibly a form of chronic alcoholism?
Well, of course, if you do that occasionally, it's not going to be an issue. The health guidelines that we have, and a conflict of interest here or a statement of interest, I was involved in developing them. Basically, if you regularly drink, and this, I'm talking now every day, if you regularly drink more than two standard drinks a day, you're increasing the risk of a number of harms. Single occasion drinking, it's five or more drinks on a single occasion, and that's the risk of things like injury and so on.
You say a couple of drinks each night. That is not hard to do, is it? Because you may come home, you start dinner, and I've done this, and have a glass of wine, and then you have dinner, another glass of wine, and then maybe one at the after dinner, and that's it. Now, it would, and I'm sure, and I'm guilty of this, where it is not hard to do that over a course of a couple of weeks every night, because we're thinking we're only having a couple, so it's okay. That is not an unusual habit for people, is it?
It's not unusual. And look, I enjoy a drink at the end of a working day, but what I try and do is make sure that it doesn't become a part of everything I do. And I think that's part of the problem that we have, is that if after work, if after you've got the kids to bed, if after going for a swim, if after watching a movie, it becomes part of everything you do, then it becomes so ritualized that you start becoming dependent. Now, what we need to recognise is dependence is on a continuum. And a good way of describing dependence is to say the degree of difficulty you have in not doing it. So if you put a beer in front of me on Friday night at 6 o'clock and say, don't drink that, Steve, you're going to have a good reason for that. But for some people, it's every night, it's every occasion. And it's in the morning, it's in the afternoon. Now, that's severe dependence. So a lot of us might have some degree of difficulty on some occasions not drinking. But for a lot of people, it starts becoming so central to every aspect of their relaxing and sometimes their working life. A lot of professions, you know, the lunchtime, the meetings over a glass of wine, the end of the working day, glass of wine. When that starts to happen, we don't treat alcohol with the respect it deserves. It's a drug that many of us enjoy, including myself. But it's a drug which has the potential for significant harm. And once you start drinking regularly, every day, more than two drinks, and remember, this is two small drinks, not the large Shiraz glass that some people call a standard drink. When we start drinking more than two drinks a day, there's an increase in risk of a range of things. Cancers, for example, breast cancer, esophageal cancer, prostate cancer, the risk can increase. And so I think what happens is people don't realize that it's beginning to creep up. They're beginning to drink more. We tend to hang around people who drink like us. Mm-hmm. You don't get many abstainers going out with very heavy drinkers and vice versa. So we think that's normal. We think there's no harm in this. But I think we need to recognize the risks and treat the drug with a little bit more respect so that we recognize that, you know, we might be enjoying it, but maybe that extra two or three glasses is putting us at risk of an injury, putting us at risk of making a decision that maybe we wouldn't have otherwise made, and increasing the risk perhaps of certain types of cancer and other diseases.
You're listening to Steve Allsopp, Director of the National Drug Research Institute at Curtin University. In a moment, we're going to bring Chris Rain into this conversation as well. He is the founder of Hello Sunday Morning, which is an organisation designed to change your relationship with alcohol. And I keep harping back to that nightly few drinks, because that has become a social norm, hasn't it? And I'm absolutely guilty of it.
It's that ritual of all the time, every night. And it is easy to slip into it. I've just come off a long holiday break.
Yeah, have a few drinks.
And you think, I'm on holiday.
Yeah.
But one of the things I try and do is, and one of the things I do, particularly during the working week, is Monday through Thursday, I generally don't drink. Mm. And that's to, you know, the calorific content, impaired sleep, and also, most importantly, so it doesn't become part of my everyday life.
If we look at the National Drug Strategy Household Survey, it found that there is a strong perception, particularly among men, that they could have about three drinks a day and it wasn't putting their health at risk. That is a very common perception, isn't it?
It is, and we also need to be concerned about the significant number of people, particularly those in their later years. What seems to be happening is more young people don't drink and start drinking later, although some of their mates make up for it. But a lot of young people are not drinking. I'm talking now under the age of 18. But when you look at that 50 to 59 age group, there's been a significant increase in risky drinking. And you know, one in three people, young people do drink in a risky way. 30% of men, and particularly older men, so drink in a way that's risky. 12% of 50 to 60-year-old men drink 11 standard drinks or more. So it's not there just drinking one or two. And the risks there are the effect on family, risk of injury, drink driving, the obvious ones. But again, risks like prostate cancer, esophageal cancer, bowel cancer, stroke. We see in Western Australia a significant number of people, 12 to 13 people die every month in Australia as a consequence of alcohol-related cancer. That's just Western Australia.
Why is it that we're drinking more as we get older? Is it just because we have more time, we're more social?
I think a combination of factors. So I think it is to do with that. We've seen an increase in access to alcohol, the number of outlets, the hours of sale, the in real terms, the price of many alcoholic beverages. But I think what's happening is people take their drinking history with them into older age. So if we looked at an 80-year-old woman, say, 20 years ago, she would have had a very different drinking history from what an 80-year-old woman's going to have in 20 years' time. So we are going to see more people in their 60s, 70s and 80s, and we are seeing more people in their 60s, 70s and 80s drinking more. So people, some of this is baby boomers taking their drinking history with them into older age. And then I think it is about the conviviality, the celebration, the things that many of us enjoy about alcohol. But it's just becoming more and more a part of everything we do. I mean, in some parts, you can go to a gym and get a drink afterwards. So some hairdressers in some parts of the country have licenses to supply alcohol.
My husband's barber asks if you'd like a beer while you're getting your hair cut.
So it becomes part of everything.
Let's bring Chris Rain into the conversation. He's the founder of Hello Sunday Morning. And Chris, you were a drinker once upon a time?
Yes, and like Steve, still drink occasionally. And I think his point is really apt that everyone has their own relationship with alcohol and everyone's on this continuum of dependence. And I think it's beholden upon all of us to continually ask how and why we use alcohol and if there's an area that we want to improve its use.
What was your, sorry to interrupt, what was your relationship with alcohol?
So I began this journey as a nightclub promoter. I was working on the Sunshine Coast and my job was to sell as much alcohol as I could to as many people, and that usually meant that I would drink quite a lot. And so that's how, you know, this whole thing began, when I decided I'd wanted to take a year off drinking and see what life was like without the hangover. And it's grown into something much different now that the people that we're getting to sign up to Hello Sunday Morning and now Daybreak, which is our app that you can access support for your drinking. It's a much higher risk population of people. They're drinking at levels that are pretty highly dependent and they're looking for support but can't quite access the support that's available.
What was it though that made you rethink your drinking habits?
I don't think
it's any... literally just sick of waking up on a Sunday morning with a hangover?
Also curiosity. I think, you know, from the age of 15, I'd been drinking most weekends and I think that's part of our culture. And I think I was very interested in doing an experiment in which I could learn about my own relationship with alcohol that I think would hold me in good stead for the rest of my life. And I think living life in a way in which we experiment with the choices that we make is the best way to go about it. And so for me, it was just, okay, I'm going to experiment for a year of sobriety and see what I learn, what's challenging, what's interesting, what's difficult. And that's formed, you know, a very great foundation for my relationship with alcohol today.
How much do you drink now?
So I see, as Steve described, I see alcohol as a drug. And for me, it's not necessarily, for me personally, it's not about how much I drink. It's about why I'm using alcohol. And they usually go hand in hand, but not necessarily. For me, the questions that I ask are when I'm starting to depend on it, you know, at the end of the week when I'm really stressed. And it's a very quick way to stop thinking about the working week or some challenge. And for me, that's the point that I'll really ask, like, why am I using this? And is there a more efficient way to get what I need out of it, such as exercise or yoga or meditation or things like that? And so, I mean, to answer your question, significantly less, but I'm always working on it. And that's the path of life.
Chris Rain is the founder of Hello Sunday Morning. Also in the studio here is Steve Allsop. He's the director of the National Drug Research Institute at Curtin University. I want to talk about the way people respond when you tell them you aren't drinking. But before that, I would like you to listen to this. We have an interview here with Andrew. Now, Andrew has decided that he's not going to drink for a year. Let's have a listen.
I found myself drinking probably more than I would have liked, probably just having a couple of glasses of wine most nights. And for a while now, I've been trying to get myself fit and healthy and sort of get back into a regular routine of exercise. And I was just finding that was a little bit difficult with drinking. And I was also very prone to sort of going out socially and having a lot more than just two when I was out socially. And to be honest, it's a bit of a social experiment for myself in terms of understanding what it's like to spend an entire year without alcohol, just seeing how that changes social events and how that changes my social circles, and also sort of understanding how just sort of dedicating a year to health, how much change that can make to my body and my motivation.
Why do you think you found yourself drinking more than you were comfortable with during the week?
I think it was just habitual, to be honest. It started off with being in a stressful job that I wasn't really enjoying, and it was probably a bit of an escape to come home and relax and have a couple of drinks, and just got into a bit of a habit. Eventually managed to get out of that particular job and concentrate on myself and sort of finding a job that I like, which luckily I've now found. And that's really what drove me to take a year off drinking, was finding a new job that I'm really enjoying, found that I've not really got any stress in my life, and just realised it had become a complete habit. Was trying to sort of throw myself into exercise but wasn't really committing.
So you've gone about 6 weeks now. You haven't had a drink since New Year's Eve. How are you finding it in those social situations?
Fine. It's easy. To be honest, I have distanced myself to a degree with some social situations, but it's been fine. It's getting easier every day, and I'm finding that I'm feeling great.
When you say you've distanced yourself from some social situations, what do you mean?
I'm just not going out as much. I would go out most Friday and Saturday nights, go out with friends, go to bars, stay out till quite early in the next morning. I've stopped doing that. I've started going to bed earlier, started getting up earlier, and started sort of concentrating on exercise and health.
And how are you finding your feeling?
Better than I have in years. Probably fitter than I've been in the last 20 years. Yeah, I feel amazing. It's incredible to see the difference that it's made just 6 weeks.
And how have you found people have responded to you not drinking when you're seeing friends?
Yeah, it's been fine. I think most people understand, and most people have been quite understanding of the situation. It's been hard at first. You know, some people made a bit of a joke out of it to begin with, sort of saying, oh, you'll never last. It's a long time. But once they realised that I was pretty serious, it's people respect it. It's been quite easy.
That's the reflections of Andrew, who has decided to give up alcohol for a year, and can tell you that yesterday he went for a 107-kilometre bike ride. Chris, listening to that, and Steve, the social aspect as well, because it is a social norm, and I wonder, Chris, what sort of response you would get when you would say to people, no, I'm not drinking for a while. Do they look at you like you had two heads?
Yeah, Andrew sounds like the better version of me. I'm stealing my thunder. Everyone responds differently, and I think what Andrew said is pretty right. I think we're more afraid of people than the reality of that. If you have a bunch of good friends, they're more interested in and curious about why you're making that choice and what it means to you. And most people are genuinely supportive, particularly once you get to a certain age and you're making different choices. People are interested in, you know, how you can live the best possible life, and where these things play a role in it. So I think it's less scary once you just sort of plunge in.
And Steve, that Chris's reflections there, I think, are very representative of younger people. And we will talk in a moment about, we will take some calls as well. So Alan and Greg are very patiently waiting, and thank you. And I will get to you in a moment. But we do see the younger people are a little more aware of the health benefits of not drinking so much. We will talk about that in a moment. But certainly, I think in my circle, so I'm mid-40s, you do get occasions, and I have, again, been guilty of it, where someone has said, oh, no, I'm not drinking. I say, oh, well, what's wrong with you? You know, you're at a party or a barbecue or something, and there is a bit of a stigma, and it can affect your social life, can't it?
Yeah, even if it's not something where somebody's deliberately putting pressure on, if we just think about it, we have to give a reason not to drink. We don't have to give a reason to drink. And so I think even when friends are supportive, when you go to... And the other is, if you've ever been sober at a party where others aren't...
A completely different experience.
You do sort of think, ugh. Yeah. And the jokes aren't as funny and the dancing isn't as easy. And, I mean, one of the warning labels I think that they should put on alcohol is warning alcohol makes you think you're funny when you're not, and warning alcohol makes you think that your ex-partner wants to hear from you at 4 a.m. when they really don't. So I think... But going back to your point, I think whilst a lot of people are supportive when pressed, that's the problem. I think that there is this sense of, I need to explain to people why I'm not drinking. And people listen to you. There's an extent of feeling that you're being humoured, rather than, oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we should actually be perhaps expecting people to give an explanation why they're having a drink rather than why they're not having a drink.
Steve, do you think that's because, you know, we don't like to see alcohol as a drug?
I don't think it's active that we don't like to see alcohol as a drug. I think it's just so much a part of everyday life. We do treat it somewhat as a normal commodity. And unfortunately, yeah. I think the market's gone that way as well. When you see, and unfortunately this hasn't happened in a widespread way yet in WA, but it is in many other communities where alcohol's next to the bread in the supermarket, where it's much easier to get a beer at 10 o'clock at night than it is to get a loaf of bread. I think that normalisation of alcohol and the constant barrage of alcohol promotions where the normal happy life involves a drink, I think that surreptitiously has created that, where it's not seen as abnormal. When I remember going to my children, and this is when they were at primary school, Christmas function, seeing parents all sitting around drinking while their eight-year-olds are singing or dancing on the stage, and that we couldn't even go to a child's function without seeing alcohol as being an essential part of the celebration.
When my son played cricket on a Friday night as 7, 8-year-olds, everybody, me included, would rock up with a bottle of champagne and some little nibbly snacks, and that was like our Friday night out
at
a sporting ground.
I was president of a junior football club, and we, for a long time and before my time in that role, we didn't allow parents to sit drinking when they were watching the children train or when they were watching them play. That it was not, we tried to say, this is not a normal part of children's lives.
And I think, Chris, you know, that point you make, Chris, that we don't see it as a drug. I've been noticing quite a few studies recently that show that younger people are turning away from alcohol. A recent one from Deakin University said that they had interviewed 41,000 teenagers, including from WA, and that was between a six-year period. And in 2000, 70% said they had some alcohol, but in 2015, 45% had. So there seems to be some significant changes there, and I'm wondering what the insights there are as to why younger people are turning away or not experimenting with alcohol as early as, say, we used to.
So, I mean, my perspective would probably be more speculation than what Steve's would be, but I would say that, you know, there's been a strong, consistent effort from the alcohol behaviour change sector and public health policy sector to actually bring about this cultural change, and it's really exciting to see the needle shift in that way. And the evidence does say that actually delaying consumption of alcohol is a positive thing for a person's relationship with alcohol. So it's a really exciting step forward in the right direction. We just need to get the oldies to follow suit.
Yeah, and you're not advocating for a country of teetotalers, are you?
That's my game plan. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
Because someone might be listening to you saying,
I know, everyone's afraid. not at all. And for us, you know, our real focus isn't to tell people how much they should drink. There are guidelines, there are things that are out there, and that's not to do with Hello Sunday Morning. Hello Sunday Morning, and in particular Daybreak, is really focused on when someone is motivated to make a change, like that woman that called in and said, you know, my husband's ready to take a break from drinking, that they can access the tools and support and the clinical support that they need to make sure that that's an effective change. And that's our whole focus. So it's purely focused on the people that are motivated to change and also to change in the way they're looking to. So for some people, that's complete abstinence or an experiment in sobriety. And for others, it's moderating. It's really dependent on the person and what they're looking to do.
Steve?
I pretty much agree with Chris in that we're not certain. What we are certain is that more young people are not drinking. And that is a good thing, because we know that drinking at an early age increases the risk of damage now. And that might be reputational damage, which is a big issue for a lot of young people, particularly when I was 18 and drank and got into trouble. There wasn't somebody wandering around with an iPhone and capturing it all.
You think, Steve? I've got some footage.
Must be very old footage.
The punk days.
Why young people are changing is unclear. So we've got some guesses. So I think it is about the campaigns, health and fitness, people engaging in sports and alcohol being antagonistic to that, seeing people get into difficulty with alcohol.
Advertising?
I think some of the promotional stuff has had an impact.
Less alcohol advertising.
Oh, I don't think there's less alcohol promotions, particularly for young people, because a lot of the stuff that you and I might not see that goes through social media, there's very strong alcohol promotions that go to young people, different from the traditional advert in the middle of the football or something like that, although that is an issue. But I think, the drink driving has RBT in Australia has had a significant impact, and young people get that. But I think we still have this issue of the normalisation of alcohol and the notion that an alcohol problem is something that other people get. You know, a heavy drinker is someone who drinks more than me. That's often the definition that people use. And a measure of that is also the language you use. So if I say when I'm teaching how many people abuse alcohol, and no hands go up. But if I say to people, how many of you have ever got in a car when you shouldn't have, either as a driver or as a passenger? How many of you have ever had an argument with your partner or your mum or dad or a mate because of your drinking? How many of you have turned up for work the next day and not been quite, you know, on the ball? How many of you have not gone to work? The one that gets the biggest response is how many of you have ended up in a relationship that you otherwise might not have ended up in? And when you start saying that, you see people going, oh, yeah, I've done that. Now, it might be only on occasion, but it goes to this notion again that if you drink more than two standard drinks every day, you don't suddenly go into another universe. No. The risk begins to increase. Sure. And the more you drink, the greater the risk. And some people have risks occasionally, now and again, at some point in their life, but some people have more risks more often. And really the rule is the more you drink, the more often you drink, the greater the risk.
Steve, this email for you. Professor Steve Allsop is walking a tightrope here. People treasure the glass of wine to wind down and relax. I agree that too much is bad for you, but too little is bad also for the psychological health. Give us a substitute. Chris, Steve?
Well, I think the point that is really well made. It is a tightrope. And I've said I enjoy alcohol. Many of us in Australia enjoy alcohol. That doesn't mean that everybody has to have alcohol to enjoy life. It is about having a range of alternatives in your life. But as I've said, as you drink more, risk increases. And whether we like it or not, I like chips. It doesn't mean they're good for me. And I think the idea, one of the things that is overstated is that alcohol has health benefits. The World Health Organization, all the meta-analyses, which are the major studies you can do on this, say the same thing. Don't drink alcohol because it's good for you. Get off your backside, go for a walk. You can't sit in front of your television drinking red wine and eating broccoli and live for the rest of your life. Eat less fat, exercise, and enjoy alcohol.
It's the
because
basics.
You enjoy the taste. That's right. Enjoy alcohol because you enjoy the taste, because you enjoy the conviviality, because it's something that you enjoy doing.